This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is a very important hadith that shows the sensitivity of the issue of debt in Islam. Before I begin, I would like to advise whoever is here and can hear what I say, that you should try as much as we can to avoid debt, unless if it is necessary. And as such, I will advise each and every one of us to monitor his activities when it comes to the expenses. Live within your limitation. Always look at yourself within that which you have. Do not look at others when it comes to the dunya. Don't you ever look at others. Always look at those people who are below you. No matter how much difficulty is your situation, there is somebody who is worse than yours. So if you are to focus on those who are above you, you will never be thankful and you will not appreciate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting you. So for you to have the qana'ah, you get it? Contentment of the heart, you must adhere to the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, do not look at those above you, always look at those below you. So I guess this is very simple advice that especially people of this contemporary era, we really need to understand it properly, that I should live within my capability. You earn whatever you earn, just live within that limitation. Do not focus on that which people are doing, no, focus on that which you have. In Arabic, they have a proverb that says, "Mudd rijlayk qadr al-hafik." Stretch your leg according to your blanket. Your blanket is so small, and you stretch your leg, it goes out. So do not blame anyone. If you get affected by the cold on your leg. So that's exactly what should be observed when you live. Get it? And I do believe if every single person is going to look into that which he has and focus on that and live without that limit, you get an idea, it will be very difficult for you to end up taking loan from others. Okay, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. And I guess this is simple, thing to be understood, which is extracted from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get it? For you to get the contentment, you have to look into your earnings and live within that limit. And be satisfied with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you. Get it? Do not go for a loan unless if it is necessary. You really need, then go and take loan. Because as you know, loan brings heavy responsibility, and people of concern, they will never relax when they take loan. Get it? That's why they said, "Hammun bil layl wa dhullun bin nahar." It's a worry. You get it? And a kind of depression at night. When you sit alone, if you're concerned of the loan and the right of others, you will never be at ease at night. And in the morning, whenever you meet those creditors, you will not also relax. You will be humiliated. So what kind of life is this? That's the reason why I said, if it is not necessary, a person should avoid it as much as he can. And also, you don't know what will happen afterwards. We're going to see from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how sensitive is the matter. Somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the shaheed. Is he going to be forgiven for everything? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yughfar lahu kullu shay." After the man left, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him back and he said, "Illa ad-dayn sarrani bihi Jibril anifa." He said, except that Jibreel told me about this a few minutes ago. Get it? So the Prophet told him everything will be forgiven based on the information he got. But imagine something which is so strong and so special in such a way, Jibreel has to come to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that debt is not included. Illa day. He said, Jibreel told me last time, that debt is not included. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man akhadha amwal an-nasi yuridu ada'aha addallahu an. Wa man akhadha amwal an-nasi yuridu itlafaha atlafahu Allah." That's also shows the sensitivity of the matter, that these are rights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forget. Get it? وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some part of his sunan, he says, الدَّوَاوِينُ ثَلَاثَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the dawaween that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave is the diwan al-madhalim, bayn al-ibad. When you take the right of others and you do not fulfill that right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave it. Rights have to be given back to their owners. And this is also what we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ أَوْ لَتُؤَدَّنَّ الْحُقُوقُ. It says, you are going to be given the right back to their owners, or rights are going to be given back to their owners on the Day of Judgment. So every right that you have, which belongs to others, you're going to pay that in the hereafter. But here comes the importance of good intention when you take the right of others, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَخَذَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَدَاءَهَا أَدَّ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. If you take the right of others, the wealth of others, with the intention of taking it back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pay on your behalf. For instance, you die before you make the payment. You borrow the money from somebody, and the agreement between you and him is to pay the debt after, let's say, 10 years. Unfortunately, death comes, because death knows no appointment between you and others. It has its own appointed time when it comes. Whether you agree, you have an agreement which is incomplete, or you have this and that, it will never change the reality. When death comes, you have to go. So if there is a good intention, this is not your fault, and the time is not due yet. But this is the right that belongs to somebody, which has to be paid. So you die before the debt is matured. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if your intention was to pay back the debt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pay on your behalf. When is that payment going to be made? On the Day of Judgment. Because on the Day of Judgment, the payment is supposed to be made by rewards. Rewards taken from your account. If there is no reward, then sins will be delivered from his account to your account. SubhanAllah. But if there is a good intention, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay on your behalf, which means from his bounties. Your reward will not be touched. So that's the good news. And also a motivator for us, that when you take the right of others, let your intention be, I'm going to pay it. And let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see the seriousness. Because intention is not enough. But let's see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see the seriousness, and you also should take initiative to make effort to see that you pay that debt. But if you fail to do that after putting all the effort, you get it? You have to back your intention up with action. But if everything fails and you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you pay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pay on your behalf. But if the contrary is to take place, which means you took the right of others without having a clear intention to pay back, or you hide the intention, the evil one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yutlifu hadha rajul, atlafahu Allah. And look at even the choice of the word. Not that the wealth is going to be destroyed. That person will be destroyed. Atlafahu Allah. That person will be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this life and the hereafter also, the consequences are going to be harsher. Allah says, wa'anati alwujuhu lilhayy alqayyum wa qad khaba man hamala dhulma. If you want to see, the real loser is the person who brings back atrocities and oppressions against others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the hereafter. You have heard last class that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, matlul ghani dhulmun. Allah says, khaba man hamala dhulma. And he says, the delay from the creditor who has the ability to pay is oppression in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person is going to regret. So as such, I will advise all of us to adhere to this simple advice. Do not borrow money from others. I'm talking about halal money. I'm not talking about haram money that some people borrow from the banks. No, halal money. Do not borrow money from others unless if you have no option. Do you get it? And once you take the money, write it down. Both parties you write. If not, then you at least write it down. It concerns you, because your partner might feel shy, because you are so and so and so to him. He doesn't want to have this agreement between you and him, but you should write it down in case you die. Get it? Then your family members know, because sometimes he might feel shy of looking for his right, but at the same time, he does not forgive. He's going to put you into this trouble that we're going to be talking about in the near future. So this is my advice to you, that do not borrow money unless if it is necessary. You really need it, let's go and borrow, and make sure that your intention between you and Allah is to pay it back. Your intention is between you and Allah to pay it, because writing agreement is useless if intention is not good. Take an idea. If intention is not good, it's useless in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُ. Subhanallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and ease all of our affairs. So in this hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, he says, تُوُفِيَ رَجُلٌ مِنَّا. One of the brothers passed away during time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَغَسَّلْنَاهُ وَحَنَّطْنَاهُ وَكَفَّنَّاهُ. So we washed him. Get it? And we put the perfume upon it, and for him, we prepared him to the graveyard. وكفنا, and we put the kafan for him. ثم أتينا به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We brought him to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقلنا تصلي عليه. We said, يا رسول الله, let's pray for this brothers of ours. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم خطأ خطا, so he made some steps. ثم قال, and then he says, عليه دين. Does he have any dain? Does he owe people money? قلنا ديران. So we told him, يا رسول الله, it is only 2 dinars. فانصرف. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he turns away. فتحملهما أبو قتادة. Abu Qatada says, يا رسول الله, I will undertake the payment. I will be responsible. So Abu Qatada says, I will be responsible, يا رسول الله. فقال أبو قتادة فأتيناه, and we went to him. فقال أبو قتادة, أبو قتادة says, الديناران علي. So when they went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with Abu Qatada, Abu Qatada says, يا رسول الله, الديناران علي. The 2 dinars are under my shoulder. I will be the one who will be responsible. So when he said 2 dinara will be on my shoulder, I mean those dinar that he borrowed from people, I will be responsible. I guarantee them. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حق الغريب حق الغريم وبرئ منهما الميت. It means now the debt will come back to your shoulder and the mayyit is free from any responsibility. You get it? حق عليك الحق. It means like the right now is upon your shoulder. And the debtor is relieved now. Is relieved from any responsibility. قال نعم. He said, yes, ya رسول الله. وصلى عليه. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed for that person. Can see any something that would deprive a person from the prayer of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that definitely is a big matter. It's not a simple issue. And this is a loss, because this is what Abu Qatada realized, that definitely this brother of ours is going to lose a lot. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in that hadith of that al-mar'ah, التي كانت تقوم المسجد, the sister who used to clean the masjid, when she died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she was sick, he looked for her because she doesn't come to clean the masjid. So he asked about her. They said, ya Rasulullah, she is sick. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in case something happened to her, please do let me know. Do not take her to the graveyard before I know. And she's doing a special service for the religion of Allah. cleaning the places of worship. This is big job. So Famatat, she died in one of the nights. They did not tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is night and this is just a normal person. So they did not inform him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about her, then they told him she died last night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blamed them for that. Why didn't you let me know? And they told him the reason why they did not inform him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took them to the graveyard of this sister and he prayed for her there. Okay. So he told them, "In هذه القبور مملوءة على أهلها ظلمة." He said, "These graves, they are full of darkness upon their inhabitants." The grave usually is dark, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is giving the inhabitants of those graves light because of my prayer. Subhanallah, this person is going to lose this prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's a blessing, it's an honor to have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying for a person. So I just want us to understand this matter as a very serious matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stay away from praying upon anyone who died while owing others debt. قال أخرجه البخاري من حديث سلمة بن الأكوى إلا أن في حديثه ثلاثة دناري. Imam al-Bukhari collected another narration, another chain of narration. The only difference between this narration and the narration of Imam al-Bukhari, this one says dinarani. Imam al-Bukhari's version says thalathatu dinanir. So 3 dinar. وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو دَاوُدَ وَالطَّبَرَانِي وَجُمِعَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ قَوْلِهِ دِنَارَانِ أَنَّ فِي حَدِيثِ الْكِتَابِ أَنَّهُمَا كَانَ دِنَارَيْنِ وَشَطْرَا فَمَنْ قَالَ ثَلَاثَةُ دَنَانِيرِ ثَلَاثَةُ فَمَنْ قَالَ ثَلَاثَةٌ جَبَرَ الْكَسْرَ وَمَنْ قَالَ دِنَارَانِ أَلْقَاهُ. So he says there is contradiction here, because some narration are saying ثَلَاثَةُ دَنَانِيرِ, some other narration are saying دِنَارَانِ. So which one is the correct one? Was it 2 dinars or 3 dinars? That extent, the scholars are very concerned to make sure that they give the correct information to the community. How much is that? Get it? So, Al-Amir al-San'ani says there is a way to combine between them, to reconcile between these two narrations. He says what happened was, it was not 3 dinars precisely, and it wasn't also 2 dinars, but it was 2.5 dinars. So the one who says 3 dinars, he completed. Jabar al-Kasr means he completed the looking at the fact that they already exceeded 2, so they enter the capacity, the area of 3. Now, although they didn't complete 3, but he just Jabar al-Kasr and say 3. And the one who says 2, the Kasr, the balance, the additional amount on top of the 2, he doesn't see anything. He just throw it away and say 2 dinar. Do you get the idea? So this is how they combine, because if both are authentic, you have to look for a way out. But the most important thing is not about how much they are. It's about the general ruling. What happens when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused? Why did he refuse to pray upon that person? قال ومن قال دينارين ألقاه أو قال الأصل ثلاثة فقضى قبل موته دينارا فقضى قبل موته دينارا. And some of the way they reconcile, some of them said no, they are originally 3 dinars, but before he died, he paid 1 dinar. The debt originally is 3 dinar, but he managed to pay 1 dinar. You get the idea? That's why they said 2 dinar. فَمَنْ قَالَ ثَلَاثَةٍ اِعْتَبَرَ أَصْلَ الدَّيْنِ. So the one who says, so this is the second way of reconciliation, to say that the original amount is 3, but then he paid 1 dinar. So he has the balance of 2 dinar to be paid, right? So the one who says 2, he is looking at the balance, what left. And the one who said 3, he is looking at the original format of the debt. The asl, the origin of the debt. How much was that? You get it? So, wallahu alam, as I said, the most important thing is to see that decision of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ قَالَ دِنَارَانِ اعْتَبَرَ الْبَاقِي وَيَحْتَمِلْ أَنَّهُمَا قِصَّتَانِ وَإِنْ كَانَ بَعِيدًا. Imam al-Amir al-Sanani says, we might say that there were two events, different events. This one and another event also. He said, although it is too far, but still the possibility is there. Because both hadith are authentic. And there is no contradiction in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix it before he dies. As a reason why you find scholars of hadith will tell you there is nothing contradictory in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It could appear. That's why some scholars, when they talk about controversy, they say what appears to be controversial or what appears to be contradiction, but in reality there is not. Yet some of the scholars will undertake doing the reconciliation for you whenever you bring two hadith which are both authentic. And then at the same time they contradict each other, they will tell you how to reconcile between them. وَفِي رِوَاتِ الْحَاكِمِ أَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ جَعَلَ إِذَا لَقِيَ أَبَا قَتَادَ. So this is very important. أَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ جَعَلَ إِذَا لَقِيَ أَبَا قَتَادَ يَقُولُ مَا صَنَعَتِ الدِّنَارَانُ مَا صَنَعَتِ الدِّنَارَانُ حَتَّى كَانَ آخِرَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ قَالَ قَضَيْتُهُمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ الْآنَ بَرَدَ الْجِلْدَتُهُ. In another narration of Al-Hakim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he meets Abu Qatada, he will tell him, مَا صَنَعَتِ الدِّنَارَ. What does the two dinar do? Okay, you said you will undertake, right? So what happens to those two dinar? What is the situation now? So Abu Qatada will tell him, not yet, Ya Rasulullah, until the time he asks him one day, what happens to the two dinar? You can see the case is still with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he meets him, the first thing is, what happened to the dinar? Have you made the payment? Then he would tell him, Ya Rasulullah, I was not able to do that. Until the last time he asked him, and at that moment, Alhamdulillah, Abu Qatada has made the payment. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْآنَ بَرَدَتْ جِلْدَتُهُ. Only now the skin of that person is able to become cool. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, then this opens a door for the scholars to try to understand what exactly the hadith means. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only now the skin become cold, what does that mean? He wasn't in this situation before. So was he punished or he was not punished? So some scholars said yes. But then the other scholars said, what did he do? He did not do something wrong. Allah doesn't punish a person for doing something which is halal for him. And there is nowhere in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says you should be sure that you will not die before you take the debt, and you should be sure that the time you agreed with the creditor to pay, it is below your death. I mean, before you die, that's impossible, right? So there is nothing says that. So if I take the loan with the intention of paying it back, but unfortunately I die before paying it, that's not my fault, as long as I am making effort to pay, but death comes and snatch me. Do you get the idea? So what did I do wrong? Nothing in Islam. Because Sharia permits it, make it legal for me. Do you get the idea? And it makes it legal for me to make an agreement between me and my creditor. We both signed the agreement that the debt is supposed to be paid upon this appointed term. But unfortunately, I die before the time for the payment. That's not my fault. Do you get it? In terms of sin, I will not get what he calls sin for that. So if there is no sin, there will be no punishment. Right? This is the system in Sharia. There is no sin, there will be no punishment. So if you say that man was punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the debt, on what basis? The Nusus of Sharia will reject this assumption. That's why the best opinion is the one that says he is not punished because of this. Al-ana barajat jadatuhu, it means only now he gets relief. Especially when we take the hadith that says Nafsul Mu'min Marhunatun Bidainihi. According to the authenticity of this hadith, Nafsul Mu'min Marhunatun Bidainihi, the soul of a believer is like Rahan. What is Rahan? Detain. Something that you detain, you don't let it have a freedom to do whatever it wants. You get the idea? So according to the statements of some scholars, Marhunatun Bidainihi, it means a person might receive the judgment and pass the test in the grave, but he will not be able to enjoy that place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide him. Do you get an idea? Because according to the mentions of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you have three dues. Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi is talking about the three dues. Dur, the prayer of Dar. Dar is a house. You have three types of houses here. Get it? Dar al-Dunya, Dar al-Barzakh, wa Dar al-Akhirah. He said in the Dar al-Dunya, you have the hukum and the legal ruling is based on what? Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi says it is based on this Aqidah of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. It is based on Al-Ajsad wal-Arwahu taba'an laha. Based on what? Al-Ajsad. Human body. That's hukum for dunya. Is based on what? You, your physical appearance and your actions. You. And the soul is following. When you go to the Darul Barzakh, it's based on Al-Arwah wal-Ajsadu taba'a. That's Alam al-Arwah. When you go to the grave, the body in the most instances will deteriorate and get decomposed and go. But the soul remains being punished. And according to the Aqidah of the soul remain being either punished or rewarded, enjoyed. According to the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, both the soul and the body receives the punishment in the grave, but sometimes only the soul and sometimes only the soul and sometimes both of them. Do you get the idea? Because there is a time which is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the body is gone, that person will be receiving the punishment. Do you get the idea? All those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept intact, they don't change. You get it? If they are wrongdoers and they're corrupt, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, they are punished. The body and the soul, both are punished. So if a person is a good person, the soul is going to be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the arwah of the believers. What happened to these arwah? Some of us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will be taken to paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in an empty bird. It will be flying in the paradise, eating and enjoying the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. It's not the physical body going, but the soul is there, enjoying the life. So that is na'im for the qabr. And that is, that is adab in the qabr. This is actually something, I don't want to call it malmuz, but it's not against the common sense, as some people say. So it does exist there. So in the reference to that punishment, or blessings in the hereafter, in the barzakh, Darul Barzakh is life after death. You get it? In which we don't know how it works. Except those people who go there. It's part of the ghaib. We just believe in it, that it does exist. You get the idea? It does exist. And there is no calculation based on human understanding. We leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we believe even if a person is snatched by the animals, still the punishment will reach him. Even if a person is burned, still the punishment can reach him, and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reach him. It doesn't matter the cause of the death or where exactly you are placed by your brothers and sisters after you die. So now back to this Nafs al-Mu'min Marhunatun Bidayni. He's talking about somebody who passed the test, but then unfortunately he was not able to enjoy that blessings and the na'im until the time somebody pays the debt. So that's a big problem. You get the idea? So if you take it as a punishment, you have to go for the psychological torment. Psychological torment whereby somebody is next to his house but he cannot go in. Of course, psychologically he will be punished, but not the physical punishment because he did not do anything wrong. Do you get the point, right? So we don't go for that opinion that says the man is punished because what did he do to deserve that? And Allah is just. Get it? There is a system to be followed, and he followed everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and his intention is good. He dies because of that. But this is to show to you how heavy is the right of others when we undertake these rites. In which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam refused to pray for somebody when he does have a right of others under his shoulder. You get the idea? That's the reason why I said, you guys have to make sure that whenever you borrow money from others, write it down. Get it? If you have a wife, tell her. Get it? If you don't have one, As usual, write it down. Write it down put it under your pillow. Somewhere else where, inshallah, when people come, they will see it. Get it? And those people who are going to take you to the graveyard, they should be smart. Before everything is finalized, somebody should stop everything and check and see, is there any loan against this person? That's the best approach. Quickly see the list he provided. Okay, we have Kareem. He owes Kareem this and that. Call him at the same moment. Kareem, we're having a case here. This man is moving. Khalas. So what happened to this debt? How to settle it? Oh, come and just pick up your money. That's it. Before we get to distribute that which he has amongst ourselves as inheritance, we have to extract the right of others and give it to them. Let the man relax. You get the idea? This is his right. You get it? This is his right. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So he says, الآن برج جدته وروى الدار قطني من حديث علي رضي الله عنه كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتي بجنازة لم يسأل عن شيء من عمل الرجل ويسأل عن دينه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, according to this narration of Ali bin Abi Talib, whenever they brought a janaza to him, he would not ask about his deeds, but he would ask about the loan between him and others. You get it? فَإِنْ قِيلَ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ كَفَّى. If they said this man has something that he owes others which is not paid yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stay away from the prayer. وَإِنْ قِيلَ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ صَلَّى. If they told him he doesn't have anything, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will pray for that person. فَأُتِيَ بِجَنَازَةٍ فَلَمَّا قَامَ لِيكَبِّرَ سَأَلَ هَلْ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ. They brought one janaza. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up, he was about to say Allahu Akbar, the takbirat al-ihram, the first takbir for the janaza. Then he asked the question first. Was there any loan on his shoulder? فَقِيلَ فَقَالُ دِينَارًا. They said this is, there are 2 dinars. فَعَدَلَ عَنْهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stay away from him. فَقَالَ عَلِيٌّ هُمَا عَلَيَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Ali bin Abi Talib said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, these 2 dinaran are under my shoulder. I will be the one who will pay them. Do you get it? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I will be the one who will pay these two dinaran. فَقَالَهُمَا عَلَيَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ بَرِئٌ مِّنْهُمَا. He says, I will be responsible, Ya Rasulullah, and the man is free from any charges. It will be on my shoulder. فَصَلَّى عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him after that. Get it? When Ali undertook to pay the debt, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him. You get it? ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then he says, جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. وَفَكَّ اللَّهُ رِهَانَكَ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you relief, or grant a relief to that person. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the relief for that person. Question. He says, جَزَاكَ. Although the hadith is weak, get it? The narration of Ali bin Abi Talib is weak. The most famous event is the one with Abu Qatada. Get it? But this one, you see, almost exactly the same thing, the same dinaran. Get it? That's the reason why the scholar said there is a weakness in the chain of this narration. But let's just look at this Jazakallahu Khairan, by the way. We have heard this Jazakallahu Khairan. Sometimes when you're so good to me, I want to praise you more and make dua more, I say Jazakallahu Alfa Khair. Which one would you choose? Jazakallahu Khairan or Jazakallahu Alfa Khair? Khalid, think first. Alf means 1,000 Khair. And the first one is just Jazakallahu Khair. Yani khair. The first one, Alf Khair, right? Why you refuse a lot and you go for one? No, forget about Sanat. Don't take from this one. This one, he will tell you the Sanat is weak, so it's capable of ijtihad. But do you have any linguistic approach that forces you to reject Jazakallahu Alf Khairan and to accept Jazakallahu Khairan?
Khairan means the khair is unlimited.
Unlimited, right. Yeah, that's what I wanted you to say. But people usually become so happy, mashallah, this guy told me, alf khair. But that's what I call being stingy. Leave it like that. Do not restrict it. Because when you say, may Allah grant you alf khair, so you don't want Allah to give him more than that. So that's why the best, even according to the language, is to say Jazakallahu khaira. Prophet ﷺ loves Jawami al-Kalim, instead of going for details. Because when you go for details, you're restricting yourself, no matter how much you mention. That's why you should love this dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban-nar. Some scholars said hasana is wealth. Some scholars said hasana is reward. Some scholars said hasana is righteousness. Some scholars said hasana is a wife, maybe one of the youth among the scholars. Some scholars said no, hasana means whatsoever qualifies. The word hasana is included here. This is the best opinion. Hasana is anything that is good. Get it? Whether you know it or you don't know it. Get it? So that's why ghulu, exaggeration in dua, is wrong Islamically. And if somebody was saying, and alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ heard him, Allahumma grant me هذا البيت الأبيض أن يمين الجنة أستغفر الله. He was describing the house in Jannah. يا أخي, what is this? And look at the advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, إذا سألتم الله الجنة فسألوه الفردوس. Subhanallah. Look at how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves his ummah, and there is no hasad in the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get it? How much he loves. He said, when you ask Allah Jannah, don't you just say, ya Allah, give me Jannah. فَسَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Ask him Firdaus. Don't ask anyone. Ask Firdaus. Why did he say Firdaus? He said, فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Did you hear this word? Okay. He says, فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ. I mean, since you are here, please inform that Sheikh, Algerian speaker who speaks about the physics and all of these things, I heard him talking about darajat al-jannah wa maratibha, messing up all the nusus. Hadith says al-firdaus a'la al-jannah. He says no, firdaus is very low, is for the common people. He creates another assumption, scientifically also trying to tell you why this one is the best. A'udhu billah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said firdaus a'la al-jannah. What does a'la mean? The highest level. And that's why he says, وَفَوْقَهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ. What else he want? Which Jannah is on top of that then? He says, on top of Firdaus is the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْهُ تَفَدِّرُ أَنْهَارُ الْجَنَّةِ. And from that place, the four rivers of paradise are coming. The source of those rivers is from that place. I mean, if there is nothing in Firdaus, I always say that if there is nothing, let's say the place is empty. Wallahi, let's say Firdaus is empty, but you know you are living in a place whereby the Arsh of Allah is the saqf of that place. Subhanallah. What do you need? This is more than enough. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's see the day, inshaAllah, we'll be in that place. InshaAllah. Inshallah. And since the Prophet sallallahu said, ask, that means it's always possible. Just monitor your activities. Make sure that you do the right thing and you stay away from the wrong thing and do things correctly. Do not invent your own way because it is not safe. Take from that whom was sent to you, and that's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his way is always safe. No question about that. Nobody will tell you why do you do it in this way if you link yourself to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you link yourself to Kareem and Bashir and Fulan or Ilan, there will be heavy questions, and you have to support. You have to substantiate what you. That's why they said, "Kalam Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam yustadallu bihi awlahu yustadallu bihi." You take the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and uses it as an evidence, but the statement of others yustadallu lahu, right? You look for evidence to support it. So why don't you go to the roots instead of holding upon the branches? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So I just want you to remember that Jawami al-Kalim in dua, this is the most beloved way of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you need something. Do not restrict yourself. Get it? Do not restrict yourself. And the best is to go and see from those traces of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and get one and use it. That's better for you. Izin Allah ta'ala. قال ذهب الجمهور إلى صحة هذه الكفالة عن الميت ولا رجوع له في مال الميت. The vast majority of the scholars said this type of kafala, kafala is a contract of what? Guarantee, right? I guarantee. You get it? So this type of kafala, that I'm responsible, the vast majority of the scholars agree with that. And also لا رجوع له في مال الميت. They said he is not. We don't go and take the wealth from the money of the dead person. Do you get the idea? What does that mean? I said, pray for him. I will be responsible. What does that mean? It is on my shoulder. Khalas. The mayit is gone. We don't go and take from his wealth. Okay, the wealth should be distributed to the heirs. I think it's clear, right? According to the opinion of the majority of the scholars. قال وفي الحديث دليل على أنه يصح أن يحتمل الواجب غير من وجب عليه. So we learn from this that a person can undertake responsibility and obligation, although initially it is not obligatory upon you. But you buy it from somebody. Okay, instead of holding this accountable, I should be responsible. You get it? وأنه ينفع ذلك. And that will benefit him بإذن الله تعالى. ويدل على شدة أمر الدين. فإنه صلى الله عليه وسلم ترك الصلاة عليه لأنه شفاعة لأنها شفاعة. And this shows how sensitive is the case of the deen. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he refused to pray for that person because his prayer is as شفاعة for that person. That's why he said it gives them light. وشفاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم مقبولة لا ترد. And once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم granted شفاعة, because he will do the شفاعة if he is permitted to do that. And once he granted the شفاعة, that شفاعة is going to be accepted. Get it? As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him chance to do that, when he does, then the شفاعة will be accepted. Get it? I'm saying this because there are some, I was listening to one of the scholars, he was saying that Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was Muslim. Okay. He messed up my night that night when I was... No, seriously, he messed up my night. So, my family were listening. So when I heard that, they were trying to find an excuse. I told them, this one cannot be excused. Because this one, people learned this in, I think, Montessori, the kindergarten. Seriously, I cannot understand how this is hidden. You get it? And you cannot come to the public and tell people he is Muslim without making any comment. According to what appears to the people, he is Muslim because he is saying he is Muslim and he says La ilaha illallah. But which one amongst the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Look at Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Any all of the narrations were on him and they explained who he was exactly. That's why when they refute some of the people who says Iman is just based on the tongue, the statement that comes out of the tongue. You say La ilaha illallah is enough. I mean, according to the Sharia, this is more than enough. According to some people, as long as you pronounce, even if you don't believe with the heart, then it's okay. When Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah refuted this opinion, what did they say? They said, according to this opinion, people like Ibn Ubay ibn Salul will be a true believer in Allah. Do you get the idea? That means they all agree that this man is what? He's kafir. And he died as a kafir. The reason why I mentioned this is because he talks about the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the prayer. So that, because he also that speaker, he says, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for him. If he knows that Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was not a Muslim, he would not pray for him. I was saying this, subhanAllah. Whatever history you are reading, you will hear the part that says, Umar was even trying to bring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back. And right after that event, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, فلا تصلي على احد منهم مات ابدا ولا تقم على قبره. Do you get the idea? What does that mean? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they even told the Prophet, why can't you kill him? He uses the word which shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want the fitna to happen after that. Because people did not know who he was, especially the villagers, they didn't know him. When he was killed, people will say what? Muhammadun sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqtul ashabahu. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is killing his companions because only the people in Medina knows. Or was he a Muslim? He wasn't. You get an idea? So we have to be very careful in our statements. Nowadays we are living in the era of innovation. Innovation here means, I mean, the so-called creativity sometimes try to bring the nusus of Sharia and to hold them accountable of something which they don't indicate. It's not part of the nus. I mean, we hold it accountable of things which are not part of the nusus. So we have to be very careful. You are a scholar, when you speak, talk on behalf of the Sharia in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. You get it? It might be a mistake, it might be whatsoever, but you cannot talk like that. Just because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for him, that means he is a believer. So that happens with others. But this one is known to almost everyone, that the man is not a Muslim. Get it? He wasn't a Muslim. He came to Islam hypocritically. That's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِلَ لَهُمْ أَصِيرًا. And everyone knows that he is leading this community of Nifaq. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. So we should monitor our words because people are imitating. And for instance, that one, I don't know how many thousands of people are listening to that thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. قال في الحديث دليل على أنه يصح. Okay, done with that. قال ولا والدين لا يسقط إلا بالتأدية. So شفاعة can waive everything and can put the person in a state of ease. And دين لا يسقط إلا بالتأدية. That is, nothing can waive the debt except if a person pays it back. You pay it, then it خلاص, it will be waived. Or if the owner of the debt forgives. وفي الحديث دليل أنه لا يكتفى بالظاهر من اللفظ بل لا بد للحاكم في الالتزام بالحق من تحقق ألفاظ العقود والإقرارات. This is a very good statement. From this hadith we learned that لا يكتفى بالظاهر من الألفاظ. We shouldn't be deceived by the ظاهر. Do you get it? من الألفاظ of the text. بل لا بد للحاكم. So when you're in the court cases, the judge or the leader or somebody who is involved, he has to verify, clarify. Okay, do you mean this? That's why when he says, Ya Rasulallah, huma alayya, ad-dinarani on my shoulder. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, do you mean now the right to pay that debt, which is dinaran, now is your responsibility, which means the guy, the debtor, is free from any responsibility? You can understand from the dhahir. Ya Rasulullah, huma alayya. They are on my shoulder. It's very clear. But to avoid the conflict that might arise in the future, the man will say, no, I don't mean that. You know, people are always like that. He says something which is very clear, but he has his own tawriya behind. So the Shaykh Al-Amir Sanani says, we learn from this hadith that when it comes to the mahkama and court cases and legal issues, the judge has to be verify and to make sure that the terms are clearly defined. That's why he says, min tahakkuk al-fadhi al-uqul wal-iqrarat, and confession. When it comes to the confessions and the contract agreements between the two contracting parties, everything has to be defined so that in the future you will not face a problem. You get the idea? So that system, that's why Islam is so comprehensive, right? If you look at the laws in the countries nowadays, you look at the laws of the countries, you see them, they are doing like that. Every term is defined. What does that mean? What is crime? What is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? So that in the future, nobody can come and play with the game. We tell him, no, the definition says this. And this is what we hold you accountable of in the future. قال وأنه إذا ادعى أن عليه الحكومة إذا ادعى من عليه الحكومة أنه قصر باللفظ معنى يتحمله وإن بعد الاحتمال لا يحكم عليه بظاهر اللفظ. So the Sheikh says, and also we learn from the Hadith that man alayhi al-hukuma, and the one which is accused person, if he claims that this is what he intended by the text, you get it? وَإِن بَعُدَ الْإِحْتِمَالِ لَا يُحْكَمُ عَلَيْهِ بِظَاهِرِ اللَّفْظِ. We will not hold him accountable based on the literal meaning of the text. Do you get the idea? We will not hold him accountable based on that which is mentioned, which is apparent from the text. وَبَرِئَ When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connect to his statement, وَبَرِئَ مِنْهُمَا الْمَيِّتِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الْمَعْنَ الْمُسْتَنْبَطِ. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَقَّ عَلَيْكَ الدَّيْنِ, I mean, حَقَّ الْغَنِيمِ, when he says, that means the right is on your shoulder, and this one is free, he said, this confirmed this understanding of ours that we will not be sufficed with the literal meaning of the text. We have to ask about clarification. What does this mean? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? You get it. Everything has to be clearly defined before we move forward, and we will not simply hold the person accountable of his word based on the literal meaning of the text. You get it? We hold him accountable of the intent. That's why they say that العبرة في العقود بالمقاصد والمعاني لا بالألفاظ والمباني. So the recognition and the focus when it comes to the transactions, it is always based on maqasid and the ma'ani. Get it? The maqsad of the words. What is the real meaning and the intent? Get it? Not the physical appearance and the phrases. Because I can use any phrase, but then I tell you, no, I don't mean that. Do you get the idea? Playing with the words. In talaq, divorce issues, when a person says to his wife, "Ante khaliya," or he says, "You are free." Free, what does that mean? This is al-fadl al-kinaya. We ask him, what do you mean by that? He said, no, wallahi, I meant free from responsibility in my house. He might be lying. You get it? At that moment, he divorced. That's between him and Allah, but based on the qada, we let him stay with his wife. Because this is what he says he was intending. And the love of the text could, accept this meaning. But when he comes to his wife and tell her, "Anti talik," he says, "You are divorced." And then when she pack her things to leave the house after the waiting period, he says, "No, I never divorced." We brought him to the mahkama. The judge will ask him, "What did you say?" If you say, "I used that word, talik," we say, "Khalas, masalam." Otherwise, the situation cannot be controlled. Whenever somebody divorced and then he regretted after the waiting period, he will say, "No, I don't mean that. I mean this and that." That's why they said there are alfaz which is based on kinaya, and there are alfaz as-sariha, which they don't carry any, we don't accept any other meaning that you come to us and say, because if you related to the wife, the first meaning that comes to the mind is this. Do you get the idea? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us great understanding and a proper understanding to the nusus of Sharia. So let me just have the last hadith for today, which is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yu'ta bil rajul al-mutawaffa alayhi ad-daynu fayas'alu hal taraka lidaynihi min qada fa'in huddith annahu taraka wafa'a salla alayhi wa illa qala sallu ala sahibikum falamma fataha Allahu alayhi al-futuha qala ana awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim فمن توفي وعليه دين فعلي قضاؤه وفي رواية للبخاري فمن ترك مالا ولم يترك وفاء فمن مات ولم يترك وفاء فعلي قضاؤه. This hadith is related to the first one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive a person who dies, and at the same time he has loan that he owe others. فَيَسْأَلُ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask, هَلْ تَرَكَ لِدَيْنِهِ مِنْ قَضَاءٍ Did he leave something to pay his debt?
فَإِنْ حُدِّثَ أَنَّهُ تَرَكَ وَفَاءَ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ. If they tell him and they inform him that yes, he died and he left something to pay the debt, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will pray for him. وَإِلَّا قَالَ صَلُّوا عَلَى صَحِبِكُمْ. Or else the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell them, pray for your brother. But I will not do. فَلَمَّا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْفُتُوحَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him ability to conquer many places, he get it to extend the land of the Muslims. That means many Muslims, many people accepted Islam. Now the land of the Muslim become big. So of course, the risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be increased. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives a lot of money, and then he made this announcement. أَنَا أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. You get it? I deserve, the believers belong to me more than their own self. I deserve them. I'm the one who should take responsibility of them. فَمَنْ تُوفِيَ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ فَعَلَيَّ قَضَاءُهُ. Whoever dies, leaving debt on his shoulder, I will be the one who will settle the debt. Get it? What does that mean? Government should do? Should do that, right? So Muhammad. And another narration, he says, وَمَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ وَفَاءَهُ. Whoever dies without leaving something to pay the debt, he says, I will be responsible. وَظَاهِرُ قَوْلِهِ فَعَلَيَّ قَضَاءُهُ. So we understand from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَلَيَّ قَضَاءُهُ. I will be the one who will pay. أَنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءُ. Get it? So it is compulsory for upon him to pay. وَأَهْلُهُ مِنْ خَالِصِ مَالِهِ أَوْ مِنْ مَالِ الْمَصَالِحِ. مُحْتَمَل. Is he going to pay from his own wealth, or he is going to pay from the wealth, the public wealth which belongs to the community? قَالَ مُنْ بَطَّى. وَحَكَذَا يَلْزَمُ الْمُتَوَفَّى يَلْزَمُ مُتَوَلِّي لِأَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَنْ يَفْعَلَهُ. فَمَاتَ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ وَلَمْ يَفْعَلْ فَالْإِثْمُ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ فَالْإِثْمُ عَلَيْهِ. فِيمَنْ مَاتَ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ. So Ibn Battal says, وَهَكَذَا يَلْزَمُ الْمُتَوَلِّي أَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. From this we learn that whoever let the affairs of the believer, this is part of his responsibility. If there is somebody who dies not being able to pay the debt, the government should undertake that debt. Very excellent. But that doesn't mean that people should go and take loan. And then go and sleep. That's why you have in some countries, I think they do that. I don't remember where is it, but there was a time where some places they invite everyone to come with his claim. They got extra amount of money, you get it? So they want to benefit the community in that way. So the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the statement. If the Walil Amr don't do, he said he commit sin. Get it? وقد ذكر الرافعي في آخر الحديث قيل يا رسول الله وعلى كل إمام بعدك قال وعلى كل إمام بعدي. So in some narration Imam Rafi says, they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, is it upon every Imam after you, whoever led the Muslims, he also has to do like that? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, everyone who comes afterward should do this. وقد وقع معناه في الطبراني الكبير من حديث زادان عن سلمان قال أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نفدي سبايا المسلمين ونعطي سائلهم ثم قال من ترك مالا فلورثته ومن ترك دينا فعلي وعلى الولاة من بعدي في بيت مال المسلمين. Okay, in the last narration, in Tabarani al-Kabir, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded us, we pay the ransom and to buy the sabaya, the slaves to free them, you get it, from the Muslimin. Okay, do not let anyone to be under slavery among the Muslimin. If you can do that, just pay for them to free them from the slavery. And also note, whoever is looking for any help, We give him from the Bayt al Muslimin. ثم قال من ترك مالا فلورثته. Whoever leaves wealth, this wealth belongs to his heirs. They should distribute the wealth among themselves according to the way Allah SWT prescribed in the Quran. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ دَيْنًا فَعَلَيَّ. And whoever leaves dayn, debt, which is not paid yet, فَعَلَيَّ, it is on my shoulder. وَعَلَى الْوُلَاةِ مِنْ بَعْدِي فِي بَيْتِ مَالِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And after me, the leaders, whoever assumed the responsibility, should pay it from the Baytul Mal al-Muslimin. Baytul Mal doesn't exist nowadays. In the same concept, it used to be during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but technically it is replaced by the Ministry of Finance nowadays. Do you get an idea? But if you look at the functions in terms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's very low, much lesser than what the Ministry of Finance is doing nowadays. Because Ministry of Finance engage in contracts, monitoring system, and all of these things which the Baytul Mal did not do. In those days, Baytul Mal is nothing but a place where the money is kept. It doesn't engage in business. It has a record of the Dawaween who paid the salary of this, and that. This one is there. Sections where the zakah is kept, the awqaf and the hiba, and all of these things was there, but not in the capacity that we have nowadays. But we don't have any replacement for it, except the Ministry of Finance. So when he said that, then we cannot refer to anything except this. But Al-Amir al-San'ani says, this narration destroys the happiness that you guys have. He says, وَفِيهِ رَاوٍ مَتْرُوكٌ وَمُتَّهَمٌ. He says, in this narration, there is a rawi who is matruk and muttaham. Do you get an idea? Somebody who cannot be trusted, and as such, this hadith is what? Saqit. Do you get it? يَنَبِّهُ الْحَافِذِ التَّلْخِيزِ وَهُوَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنِ سَعِيدِ الْأَنْصَارِ. One of the narrators called Abdul Rahman ibn Sa'id al-Ansari is matruk. Whenever matruk exists in a chain, that chain is gone, khalas. The chain also become matruk. They get the idea of matruk means the hadith which is rejected or neglected. So personalities are described by that to preserve the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This knowledge is necessary and it doesn't know personalities. That's why a person can talk about his father like that. Of course, with adab, but they have terms they use. Get it? Abu Dawood, I think he was describing his son, he says, Kadab. Imagine his son, he called him Kadab. When it comes to the hadith, Ali ibn al-Madini, or one of them, they ask him about his father. He said, Daif. That's Uququl Walidain. But they're looking at the bigger picture, which is the preservation of the deen. And as such, whoever gets involved, he has to accept the terms and terminologies. Do you get the idea? So your brother, your father, your wife get involved, or she's a muhaditha, and you also agree to become muhaddith, but unfortunately you are daif, she's going to be asked about you, and she will tell matruk. But I'm afraid it will go with her marriage, right? That's why when they ask her maybe about you, she will keep quiet. Then when we narrate, they will say, sakatat anhu. She doesn't say anything. Then we have to go secretly and ask about that sukut. They get it? Because sometimes when they keep quiet, it means something. Abu Dawood in his risala to Ahl Makkah, explaining the details about his book, Sunan Abi Dawood, he was talking about those ahadith. He said, wama sakattu anhu fahu salih. Whatever I keep quiet, this hadith is authentic to me. When he says salih, salih to me. That's why, although he keeps quiet, but you see the muhaddithin, they will come and check that silence. Is it okay? Because his silence is not qala Allah, qala Rasuluhu. Do you get the idea? He might keep quiet, according to him it's authentic, but those other scholars of hadith, they will not see that which he is saying. And as such, they will say it is weak. And you have this battle also a lot in those places where he keeps quiet, but then the scholars will come and tell, no, this hadith is not authentic, it's weak. Although he keeps quiet, but to him it's authentic. But to us, after a long critical analysis, we will find that he might miss something which will make that hadith not authentic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. It's very interesting knowledge for those of you who are really student of knowledge. You will enjoy your life when you study Misal al-Hadith and Jarh al-Ta'ti. Get it? And then Imam al-Hakim and who? Al-Dhahabi. Get it? You see Al-Dhahabi with Hakim. Hakim wrote a book. Get it? But in that book you have all kinds of hadith. And to him, the book is authentic. But then the scholars come and see, the tasa'ul he has is so big. I guess Suyuti in Masalah, he says, وَكَمْ بِهِ تَسَاهُلٍ حَتَّى وَرَدْ فِيهِ مَنَاكِيرٌ وَمَوْضُوعٌ يُرَدْ. He says, tasahul, negligence and carelessness reached its peak. In such a way, he even brought a hadith in his book, which are mawdu hadith. And he called them authentic. At least if you call the weak authentic, we can understand. But mawdu, take an idea. So that's knowledge. So that's why you see Dhahabi, the scholars, they try to see. Whenever Hakim says authentic, they will wait and see. What does Imam Dhahabi say? So I like his statement sometimes. When he narrates hadith, he says, وَقَدْ أَخْرَجَ الْحَاكِمِ. You get it? And then after that, he will say, وَالْعُهْدَةُ عَلَيْهِ. SubhanAllah. He will say, Al-Hakim narrate a hadith, and he is responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not responsible. Usually if you are to go to the chain, you find that narration is weak. So that's why Imam Zahabi will say, I'm not responsible. He is responsible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So this hadith is weak, right? But the part that says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنٍ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَمَنْ تُوَفِّي وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ فَعَلَيَّ. You get this part is authentic, no doubt about that, inshallah. And this extends the responsibility also to the authority as long as they can afford it. Okay? Understand this. As long as they can afford it. This doesn't mean that you go on with your long detailed list and you pass it to them in case I die. You guys... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. The last hadith, inshallah, will not go through it. It's the last hadith under this chapter, so I think it's good to just finish and get ready for a partnership in next week, inshallah. We'll fight a lot there. قال أن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا كفالة في حد. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, this hadith is weak, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says there is no kafala. A kafala is a contract of guarantee, fi had. So when there is a had of the among the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kafala doesn't exist in it. There is no guarantee. Somebody will take responsibility. No, it doesn't go. The one who is responsible should bear the responsibility. We don't take it and pass it to others. قال ابن حزم لا تجوز الضمانة بالوجه أصلا لا في مال ولا في حد ولا في شيء من الأشياء لأنه شرط ليس في كتاب الله وهو باطل شرط ليس في كتاب الله فهو باطل ومن ترك النظر أن يسأل من قال بصحته أن يسأل من قال بصحته أم من تكفل بالوجه فقد فغاب المفعول عنه ماذا تصنعون بالضامن بوجهه أتلزمونه غرامة ما على المضمون فهذا جواز. Okay, this one might need some elaboration, inshallah, talking about the types of the kafala itself and which kafala could be okay and what happens when you undertake the responsibility of bringing a personality. They call it kafala in person, and that person is khalas missing. Who is responsible after that? So bi-izhanAllah ta'ala, next week, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, I will go through the commentary one after the other, and then we move to the next chapter, which is on the partnership, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.